Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am absolutely honored that you have joined the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. And this is where we celebrate you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You are bold. You're brave. You dare greatly. You're changing the world, and you're changing people's lives. That's why we celebrate you. That's why this platform is dedicated to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Really appreciate it. We have a great interview. A gentleman by the name of Lawrence Henderson. He is the founder of Voss, which is a pretty cool name. Chief Learning. This is out on his stat card on LinkedIn. He's a Chief Learning Officer and keynote speaker at Voss. So let's get going. Okay, so you know what, you know, the elephant in the room is. It's COVID. It's how do you keep business going in COVID and post-COVID and the long tail and what do you do? All of those questions. Absolutely, absolutely important. Now, for me, and I'm going down this road, and you can join me, we've got a couple of things happening. One, we're creating a coalition. And when I say coalition, it's built off of the necessity to collaborate. And these are just individuals. These are companies. These are people that are coming together to try to come up with some great solutions. So we got to collaborate. We've got, because I don't have all the answers, but I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people have great ideas to really try to get us through this challenging time. Because the reality is, one, we got to either save money, make money, or do both, which is probably the best. And how do we do that in this COVID world? We need answers, and we need collaborative partners to be able to do that with. And put our pride aside, put our fears aside, and do it now, because we need leadership. Okay, we also need to innovate. Not just innovate from the point of technology, because that is a big topic, but innovate from how we work with people, how we work with our customers, how we work with our partners. We need to be innovative. We need to do more, and we need to think differently in this world to create that real resiliency going forward, a must. And one of the things that I'm very big into is how do you sell, how do you market in this new post-COVID pandemic world going forward? How do you create that level of resiliency? So that's why you need to be innovative. Then you need to educate. There's tons of information out there. I try to, each and every day on the podcast, talk to individuals that are at the cutting edge of thinking. You know that. You're listening to it. Now, we have to continue to educate and learn from the best. We have to do it with a sense of urgency, right? We always have to think about today, especially speed. And then finally, outside of all those points, we've got to be willing to make mistakes. I know that is challenging, especially in industry, making mistakes. We've got to do it. We have not been through anything like this before. And therefore, if you're concerned about making mistakes, all right, that's a tough one. That's a challenge, because you're going to. If you're not moving forward, if you're not trying to be that, living that bold, brave, and daring greatly life, then you're not going to make mistakes, and you might as well just sort of, you know, close up shop. We've got to be bold leaders. We've got to be innovative leaders. We've got to do all of these things, and we've got to do it now. We have no time to waste. Okay, so once again, collaborate. We're starting a great organization that is all designed and focused on saving money and making money. And then we've got to innovate, and it's all designed about saving money and making money. And we've got to educate, and it's all about saving money and making money, and we've got to do it with speed because we need to save money today and we need to make money today, and we've got to do it from a sense of courage that we're going to possibly make mistakes, and that's okay. That is okay. Don't do it. Get back up. You know, brush off those knees and dust off of them and get back going and just keep on moving, okay? That's my push. Now, we're going to have a great interview because we were talking about leadership, and we were talking about the possibility of some gaps within leadership. And so leadership is a very important topic specific to this whole COVID world, right? Check. Absolutely. You're shaking your head. Yes. Now, we were talking with a gentleman on this interview. He's got some passion, baby. He's got some passion about leadership, and he understands it and the necessity of it, okay? And we're going to be talking about three tenets. Three. Be, know, and do. You get some themes here, right? You get some themes here. The B is character, that B part, you, inside, heart, right? Your tenacity. Two, know, that innovation, that desire to learn, to keep on that inspirational things that you got to keep going because we need you today. And then, okay, do, right? Do. It makes sense. Take action. Do it now. You know, you got to keep on going. You got to keep learning. We need you. Boy, am I on fire today. Holy cow. I just want you guys to be a success. I want you to continue to learn opportunities and save money, make money, and you got to do it, and you got to do it now because we depend on you. Oh, my gosh. All right, Lawrence Henderson. That's LawrenceE, Henderson, HenderSon. Find him out. Fantastic stat card out there on LinkedIn. Boss is the company. Let me drill down a little bit. Business Operational Support Services LLC. You get it, right? BOSS. Business Operational Support Services. That is on the ticket today. That is the interview. This gentleman brings the passion. Enjoy the interview with Lawrence right now. Hey, Lawrence, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here and making time in your busy schedule. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much, Scott, for having me this morning.
It's a pleasure. It's all ours. Definitely. We are finding ourselves in a really unique and unusual time. I have never lived through this in my, I'd like to say 35 year, but I'm much older than that. But I've never seen anything like it. And it's going to really require a lot of innovation, collaboration, and action, and try it. And you're going to have to fail, and you're going to have to get back up. You're going to have to fail, and you're going to have to get back up. So for the listeners out there, Lawrence, give us a little background on where you come from and your why you're such an incredible professional, because I've looked at your LinkedIn stat card out there, and my goodness, you got some mad skills. Talk to us.
I appreciate you. Well, I hail from the great state of Ohio, where I attended Ohio State University.
Hold it. Here's a little track. What's that on my head? It's a national championship. LSU right there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But you needed a lending strong hand from one of our natives and former Buckeyes. So I'll give you that.
We did not see the star. He definitely. I could talk about football all day. I love it. I love college ball. Well, great. That's pretty cool. Okay, so you're in Ohio. Yep. I love Columbus, Ohio, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so they gave me my roots, and I transitioned from there to United States Army as a commissioned officer, where I spent 12 and a half years active duty, leading at various levels, and then transitioned from the active duty service about almost 5-6 years ago now, to where now I'm in the leadership and organizational development, coaching, speaking, and training space. Again, connecting the dots for organizations and their associates, employees at all levels.
Thank you for your service, first off. Secondly, why? Why were you passionate about leadership and sort of the tenets of leadership and all of the components? Because it's a pretty interesting topic today, especially.
Yeah, well, early on as a young person, 22 years old, you're given the keys to the city as you're going through all this military training. And one of the early mottos in the Army was "When in charge, take charge." Well, they didn't just give us a handbook and say, go off and be great. They actually took their time to build us up. Same thing in the same program as basic training. We give you some fundamentals. We teach you what to do, how to do, but then we give you the reps. Well, I wish I could say I had great leaders all throughout my career, but that was total opposite. I maybe had in those 12 and a half years, I maybe have two good leaders. And when I say good leaders,
yeah,
people who took the time to develop, people that took the time to entertain questions and curiosity and different things like that. And it wasn't just a command hand, which most people think the military, you do as you're told, when you're told, and all, but that's total opposite. We actually have a Army Department manual that talks about leadership, and it's an entire manual around leadership. And so I was the person who was a reader. I consumed information and knowledge, and I was looking for the leaders in this manual, but I only met two. And once I transitioned out, I was like, okay, the civilian world's going to be really good at this leadership thing. Well, not so much. And so as I was looking for my passion and my purpose, I originally went into HR, but then understanding learning and development, training and development was a tenet and a part of HR. I was like, okay, that's what I want to do. I want to be the person who not only helps retain populations for organizations, I want to help train them to be better. And so I just love building up people. I understand my role in this life, and my role is to use these broad shoulders for people to be able to stand on while they're gaining confidence and are gaining trust in their own abilities. But me being the coach and the trainer to continue to connect them to resources, that way they know how to, again, fish on their own when I'm not around.
Why do you think that that's the case? Why in your extensive career, you only came across really only a handful of true leaders, and you've come across a lot of individuals. Why is that the case?
I think Barbara Kellerman, she's the author of Professionalizing Leadership, and she puts it very eloquently in her book recently over the past couple of years. In the military, all of our leadership training courses got longer and longer with more rank. And so in the military, it wasn't that they weren't being taught what right looked like. It just was were leaders checking on the application. And I think on this side of life, leadership has become a position description item and not really testing out or asking those behavioral questions of, because of your leadership, how has the organization changed? How is the organization better or not because you were there? And I think when you don't have an expectation of leaders in a position, which again, most of us who understand, the position is assigned. That's level one leadership stuff. Just because you got a title doesn't make you a good leader.
Right.
But it's the development and the reverence and the respect that person earned it, because they not only said, I'm going to take this role, but I'm going to get better and being more knowledgeable, more competent, tactical, technical, whatever it is, to be better for the team. And so leadership has never really transitioned into a profession. It's just transitioned into a box you check on a resume. Have they ever led people before?
Right.
And so I think that's where it went.
Yeah, and you're right. And I think let's just address the elephant in the room, and that's COVID-19.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we mentioned prior to this podcast, we talked a little bit about, I think people were pre-virus, somewhat lazy, sort of routine. And like you said, check the box on leadership just because I, led people in some way, shape or form, but that is not, that's not leadership. That's just whatever it is. And I think you brought up a good point, and you said COVID-19 is exposing gaps. What do you mean by that?
I think it's exposing not only the gaps in whether or not people were technically competent or confident in their abilities, but the gaps in the actual organization's character and culture of what actually existed. When I can go and I could just go in every day, and all I have to do is depend on Scott as my leader, because I know he's going to tell me what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and then I'll take my breaks when I need to. Right. I'm fine. But COVID introduced us to the will our culture extend outside the walls of the physical organization? And what I believe is happening is people's now personal values are now in conflict. And so because leaders, that gap, because leaders and people in charge never really tested or defined what really drove people, now you're seeing that gap in communication. You're seeing that gap in what people believe in. And again, what's rising in the cream is that cream always rises to the top. Well, what really matters to people is rising to the top. And there's a disconnect. There's a huge gap in what's important to people. And I think because that work wasn't done on the front end to actually learn who you hired on versus we're just going to put a warm body in a role. And so I think gaps in people's how they recruited, how they hired, there's gaps and it's being exposed. All these things, how they onboarded, what was important during onboarding is now being exposed. Yeah. And so it's just gaps and holes all over the place.
So when you say drove, what drove individuals and what, I think it's quite insightful to say, okay, pre-virus, I was just sort of inside my little organization and I'm just zipping around. And then when I leave work, I just go back home and, do whatever I do.
Yep.
But you're saying from a leadership perspective, mm-hmm. we should have been far beyond that. And what drove people within our organization, our talent within our organization, what motivated them. And that's far beyond just the confines or the four sides of the wall of your organization.
Exactly. Exactly. I think it goes to the old school Maslow's hierarchy of need.
Yeah.
Right. When you start to build the pyramid, bottom line is I'm thankful that I got a job. Right. And you always had those people. I'm coming in here. I'm dealing with all this mess because I'm thankful and I'm grateful that I got a job. Yeah. Well, after a while, if leaders don't check in and leaders don't, all right, what makes Lawrence tick, right? Okay, we give him a good check. He's pretty decent pay. But why did he have the attitude the other day? Well, you may not know he's actually going through a divorce and a custody battle. Well, that's why his work dropped off. Well, in this environment, that anxiety, that stress is compounded because now you're making me stay where I don't want to be. And so when you have people in their homes and you can't figure out why their work is actually declining or it's stalling out, it's because you don't know the other facets of what's important to a person. Or now you have a person who, whether it's this blue collar world, where now you have to have this social distancing. Now a plant may close or a manufacturing plant may close. And now they can't put their hands to use. And so it's, idle hands do the devil's work, or whatever it is. All these dynamics have happened, and these leaders they didn't have a capability to just do a simple check-in on people. And I think that and that now has become a need, that social connection that and I did a post today around it takes a village. Well, that just wasn't for children. That was for us adults as well, because healthy, whole adults need other healthy, whole adults to check in from time to time.
Right.
And again, so just this interaction with you and me, this is giving me energy. This is filling my cup from an interaction and social perspective.
Yay.
Right?
Well, and it's true. And I think you're spot on with that analogy, because, I hate to say it, and I fall into the same category, Lawrence. I'll get in my routine. It's the same old stuff. Pre-virus, sure. I did this, and I never really recognized. And I, of course, I did the podcast, but I never recognized really the necessity to truly serve others in a way that is necessary. I look at and I don't have the answers. I look at this whole COVID world we live in today and post significant challenges. It's a huge elephant, and I don't even know where to start. Like, what bite do I take, right? And so let's talk a little bit about just sort of laying that foundation. Let's say, hey, I recognize I've got some gaps within my leadership.
Sure.
What are the tenets?
So I go to the tenets that I was raised on and the ones that I've really implemented as a foundation in my life. And so it starts with a be, no, do type of foundation. And so in the be part of that foundation, in there is character and presence. And character, again, what are the values? How am I displaying and acting out empathy? Not from trying to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, but being willing to hold the space and be respectful of an experience somebody is having or has had. And then the presence, am I being the consummate professional? Am I having the confidence and the resilience that not only do my family need, my organization need, and just me personally checking in with myself? And then you have the no part, right? The no is the one, it's the mental agility. It's the innovation that you described, but it's also the interpersonal tact, right? This is what this time is doing to a lot of us is, we really didn't do some of the tenets of emotional intelligence very well mm-hmm. from the side of self-awareness and self-management. And yeah. So that's in that no part of it. And then the do, where we begin to quantify the competencies of what we know needs to happen. So how are we leading ourselves and others? How are we continuing to build trust? But are you developing yourself? What developmental tenets are you putting in place for you, those you're leading? And then let's put some quantitative markers on the wall, right? Are we getting the results? Are we anticipating some of the things that are coming down the pipe? And then how are we integrating not the new normal, but this next normal? Because understanding, we're phasing this thing out.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've seen, and we do this all the time, and it mm-hmm. just is, we're all in pain right now.
Yeah.
We're all struggling. We all don't have the answers. We're all in some of this globally. It's not picking on anybody. It's picking on everybody, right, around the world. Yeah. My concern is mm-hmm. that if we don't do it today, if we don't take action yeah. today, if we don't do what is necessary today,
yeah.
then we'll just relive it, you know, let's say 2 years from now, right? And then things yeah. sort of slowly getting back to normal. 2 years, we forget about the pain and the anger and the impact it's had on individuals. We've got to yeah. sustain this. We've got to sure. do it today and recognize in our hearts to say, okay, now and be humble about it and not prideful and say, yeah. I lacked in a lot of areas because I was lazy pre- yeah. I need to up my game, and I need to take the education that is necessary. I need to yep. train. I need to do all of that. My concern is that we just go back to whatever that is.
Yeah. I tell you, the humility in this season is huge. And it goes to, we say humility. Humility in that, do I have the courage and am I vulnerable enough to actually admit out loud, I don't have it all. And
yeah.
am I open to receive feedback? And I really believe innovation will happen when people are willing to ask for support.
Oh, and
And me and you talked about vulnerability. Ooh. And Brené Brown talks about courage, but there can be no courage without vulnerability.
Yeah.
And us and me as a soldier, the one thing we used to do, there's one thing to charge a hill, but it's another thing to admit you're scared of what's on the other side of that hill. And that's why you have battle buddies. And that's why you do it together. And that's why you have a scheme of maneuver. That's build out purpose, vision, and direction.
Yeah.
And you plan. And that way you don't plan to stick to it. You plan so you have something to flex off of. Right. And I think in this season, what got exposed is people didn't even have a plan to flex off of. And that's where when you say, will we go back to what we've been doing? It's because they've never put any plans in place.
But again, I get right back to it. I don't wish this on anybody. Trust me, this has not been a very joyful experience. Yeah. It has in its way highlighted many things in our shortcomings and realizing that, one, we need help. We need yeah. to educate. We need to do what we need to do. And I yeah. think going forward, the real leaders, the yeah. real champions, the cream that rises to the top, are the ones that are humble, that are sacrificial, that focus on the dedication of education, and more importantly, think of the other. Like, one of the things that I was in, do you, you know, and you bring this up, do you know what your employees need to be successful? I think that's an interesting comment and statement. Yep. Explain a little bit about that.
So it goes to the thing, and I'll tell it in story form. So as a young infantry leader, you think you got a bunch of infantry men, and they know how to shoot, they know how to run in the direction you point them in, and all things good, right? All of your infantrymen are Rambo. They're ready to take a hill. Not quite. Well, you have Private, you know, Joe, who needs you to motivate him, and he needs you to encourage him, because at the end of the day, we're people. And I think what's really happening now, you need to address the person first before you can address their position description. And if you don't address the person that you're asking to do a thing, then they don't feel seen, they don't feel heard, they don't feel a part of something. And at the end of the day, all anybody ever wants to do is feel like they're a part of something meaningful. And COVID put a bright blinking light over that as a principle for most people, is to feel, am I a part of a community?
Big time. Absolutely. And I think that's really important. And okay, listeners, one thing, you don't go back to the old way. This is a great opportunity, great opportunity to really change internally and externally and propel your business forward from the position of leadership and other qualities that you're just going to have to recognize. So we talked about the be, no, do. Yeah. We talked about the tenets associated with that. Mm-hmm. We talked about being a part of a larger community, because we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to collaborate. And that doesn't just mean within your organization, which is important, but I think there's a collaboration effort that has to exist even beyond that with other companies, with other professionals that bring new perspectives. And that's all a part of that consumption of knowledge and information to be a better leader. Now, where do you start? Where do you go from here? Where do I get that development support?
Yeah.
And I'll just say, we don't have the money to do this.
Yeah. So I would tell people, even if you don't have the money yet, reach out to a consultant of some kind, right? Whether that's your internal departments that you haven't asked to do everything on their position description, and now it's some revising, some remaking. Where do you start? Where can you scale? Because people like me in my profession, in the consulting world of leadership development, I do what's called a needs analysis. Any good consultant doesn't walk through the door and say, I know what your problem is, I'm going to fix what I think is the problem. No, most of us come into an organization and we listen for what the actual problem really is and where the pain points really are. And when I say it like that is because most organizations say, my frontline leaders, they're horrible, or they're lacking major stuff. Well, first question I ask is, who trained them? And most times, more times than not, the room gets silent.
Of course it does.
Yeah, right. And who promoted them into the role? Again,
the room gets silent.
Right? But I say, start there. And me, I say, this is a time where we build community. This is community, not competition. And I'm not going to go into organization as a consultant and tell them that I'm it for you. No, it's just like a coaching client and coachee relationship. I may not be the best coach for you. I know you need coaching. And so what I can do for you, I can hand you these numbers of people to have conversations. And I think for me, call me what you will, I give away. I have a network of people that I know are awesome. That's my village. That's my community. Yep. And it is all about collaboration, not competition. And I think that mindset is what the way the world is going, and if you have that individualistic, if I'm gonna be an army of one, I'm that solopreneur, you're gonna lose. I really believe you're gonna lose in this next normal.
I agree with you on that, boy. That is a truth bomb, big time. Because I agree with you, and I think that companies, individuals, whatever it might be, the ones that succeed in this post-virus world, or now, let's say now, it's not, I mean, let's have a sense of urgency here, are the ones that truly have the characteristics of humility and the desire to sit on their pride and reach out and ask for help, and then in a community that is also in that same mindset. And I think those are the ones that are truly going to be successful. Now, we're going to have to wrap this interview up, and this has been great. Listeners out there, I want to make sure, understand those tenets of leadership. You got to have a mindset of humility. There is a necessity to be resilient, and you need to create a community of people who are in the same, I hate to say it, we've been saying it so much, in the same boat, but they all want to row in the same direction. Find them. Do that. Reach out to Lawrence. Lawrence, are you active out on LinkedIn?
I am active on LinkedIn. I am Lawrence E. Henderson Jr. I'm the only one out there.
Okay. let me note that, because I'm looking at your stat card. And I was just going to say, there's probably a few Lawrence Hendersons out there.
Yeah,
and I was going to say, just type in boss. But you're good. All right. That's Lawrence, everybody. Boss is his company. He's the chief learning officer. Lawrence, thank you very much for joining. That was a wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
On this side. And you listeners, stay tuned. You know we're going to wrap it up on the other side, because we've got a lot of information to provide, because you need to reach out to Lawrence. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you have joined the number one industrial-related podcast. Okay, a couple of things. Be no do. Reach out to Lawrence Henderson, because you will not be disappointed, as you could tell by the interview. He knows his stuff. Let's get involved. Reach out to him, LinkedIn, type in his name, slap in boss, which is a pretty cool name, I gotta admit. And then you'll find him. Reach out. You will not be disappointed. Absolutely not. Okay. To reiterate, organizations, we need to collaborate, innovate, educate, and we got to do it with a sense of speed, and you got to be willing to make mistakes. That's why we're creating a collaborative team under the works, and it will be definitely demonstrated to you. And it's all focused on saving money and making money, especially today, because the bottom line, industry, manufacturing, people of industry, you, we are depending on you in this particular time of COVID world, this train that we're on. All right. So go out there and think about it. Do it. If you don't do it, collaborate, okay? Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. As always, I am so honored. I am so amazed that I am part of a great organization. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. Thank you very much.